Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
236, Chad Hartman back here with you on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Sheriff Bob Fletcher from Ramsey County is kind enough to join us. He is on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Bob, thanks very much for coming on once again. I want to get to a number of topics with you, including a story that I've been watching here for a few months now, your Facebook live stream, which has drawn a lot of interest. Why did you decide to do it, and how do you feel about it so far?
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me, and I haven't been around as long as your dad, but sorry on the loss of your father. He was truly legendary.
I appreciate that.
You know, after George Floyd's death, a lot of us in law enforcement felt that, you know, the trust and the relationship that we'd spent years developing had been stretched, in some cases broken. So really started looking at how do we rebuild that trust and how do we show people the human side of what we do in law enforcement, and that we're rarely actually arresting people and hardly ever using our weapons. And most of the time, we're just helping people overcome obstacles. And, of course, those acts of kindness, quite often from all the law enforcement officers, are never really big news. But I struggled with how I was feeling about our industry after 43 years. And I thought this may be a way to show them transparently inside how police officers work and a little more of the human side.
So we've watched shows like this for a while, from Cops to Dan Abrams' show, and they certainly have cultivated interest, just like what you're offering up right now. How do you balance out what you're doing, the answer you just gave us, to who knows what's going to happen, and the balance of privacy that may be taking place?
Right. Well, our broadcast is a lot different than the live PD. You know, We're not just filming cops when they're arresting people, or that's not the focus. We're filming and broadcasting cops when they're just driving around being themselves and when they're encountering people that might need help. There are incidences that we, of course, get into, but we're only using a dashboard camera, so we're not taking a TV camera inside on calls like some of those live PD shows are. So we're really taking every step to minimize the exposure of an identity of citizens, certainly of juveniles. On occasion, traffic stops or chases or felony stops, you're going to see that. But really, we're giving a window inside of police work when it's not at that extreme end.
But respectfully, Bob, if it doesn't show some of the drama, and it does, you wouldn't be getting people watching. If it's just police officers with the mundane and just driving around, Then nobody would be watching.
Well,
and people are drawn to it.
You might be right. There probably are some, but if you look at the comments and we get 5,000 to 6,000 comments every time we're out there. Many of them just appreciate the fact that we're talking about history, about things that have happened, crime trends. We spend a lot of time talking about crime trends, and I hope we can talk about that a little bit too, because this week both the St. Paul and Minneapolis City Councils are deciding what they should do with the number of police officers. And clearly crime is spiking. It's making a dramatic increase. And we spend a lot of time talking about those types of issues while we're driving around.
So I definitely want to get to this. I want to read part of a Star Tribune story that wrote a fairly lengthy profile on what's taking place. Part of it, Fletcher, yeah, alluding to you, share the Charter Commission's email address with viewers in case they wanted to make their feelings known. Send them an email to get your comments in on time. The obvious pitch for support bothered a Charter Commissioner member, Bethany Winkles, who said at a commission meeting that Fletcher had misled people. He spun the truth to what this conversation was to elicit responses. What do you say to what the Charter Commission member had to say?
She's completely wrong. The board chair placed that item on the agenda for discussion, whether to have an elective sheriff versus an appointed sheriff. It was on the agenda, and with little or no public notice that it was placed there. And all we did is publicize the agenda and say, if you want your input, I hope the Charter Commissioners don't mind getting emails. All we did is say, email them. Hey, if they don't want to read them, that's completely up to them. But it's not.
But you gave your opinion also, right? I mean, it wasn't like you just said nothing was going on and here's the email.
Obviously, I think an elected sheriff is the right way to go. But no, I didn't. We didn't discuss that opinion. I think it's implied that I think an elected sheriff represents the public and is not appointed by an appointed person that's appointed by another one. The closer you can be to the community as a sheriff, the better you're going to be at representing the community.
Ramsey got a Sheriff Bob Fletcher's with us. Okay, a lot of people still are talking about the decision about 10 minutes ago for the high-speed chase through St. Paul's east side. You chased a stolen car with a camera rolling, sharing the feed. The pursuit was never officially joined by St. Paul Police, which, like many departments, weighs the risk to the public when giving chase. If you had a chance to do it again, would you? And you think you went against policies in St. Paul?
Well, we'd do it exactly the same way. And first of all, the St. Paul police officers asked me to participate and to take the lead in the chase because of their policy. They know that the Ramsey County Sheriff's Office operates on a different policy. We believe that the public expectation is that we'll actually try to catch auto thieves. And in almost every case, these auto thieves have long histories of either carjackings, other robberies, drugs, and guns. We had another one a couple nights later where he had 2 pounds of meth and a gun in the car. So we would do everything the same. That chase really doesn't qualify as high speed. If you watch it, and please do, it was our vehicle never exceeded 45 miles per hour. And when the MARC squads passed, they estimated they were at 50. But in either case here, if we as a society decide we're going to never chase a stolen car, we might as well just stay in our offices, because once the crooks know that they can get in a stolen car and get away from any offense, we're done. And I'm not ready to submit to that level of submission.
Well, this is a debate that has been taking place, more importantly, by individuals in law enforcement like you, elected officials, and then many of us in the public. And I understand what you're saying. You know, if someone is out there and their actions are ones that are breaking the law, they're egregious, it's very difficult just to say, hey, we have to give up. But you know better than I, you also have a trickle-down effect, which can be direct to the safety of others. So you're saying in your case, you don't think you put anyone else in jeopardy by that decision?
Well, there's always some risk, but the risk for that particular chase was extremely minor. There were no cars on the street. There's no public walking. The governor had ordered a shutdown at 10 o'clock, and so this was after 10 o'clock. We do curtail a lot of chases. We had another one last week that in the first block we terminated the chase. Our policy is clear that if the balance of risk shifts to the public, the chase should be terminated. And I would say clearly a majority of cases are terminated. But our policy is a little different in St. Paul's, is that we at least allow the officers to start the chase and make a determination about the safety after the chase has begun. In St. Paul's policy, they do not allow them even to begin the chase. So it's a really relatively big distinction, but but if we allow the criminal element to be emboldened, and I have to tell you, I've been at this for 43 years, I've never seen them more emboldened than they are now. This violent crime trend began last August, more than a year ago. The carjackings in Minneapolis and St. Paul, the robberies, the murder rate in St. Paul is about to hit a record. We cannot allow that trend to continue much longer, or we're going to lose the battle. And I'm not ready to submit to that.
So let me ask you that. Why do you think the uptick happened in August, and what should be done, and what is your reaction? What is taking place, including in Minneapolis, when the president of the city council and two others are trying to significantly reduce the number of police on the force and direct them in different ways?
Well, the uptick in crime is complicated. Certainly this began before the George Floyd incident and the pandemic. Part of it's demographics in terms of the number of young people that are in a population. There's always an uptick when you have a number of young people. But of course, the George Floyd's death and the pandemic has contributed to that. But let's keep in mind, the Minneapolis police chief and mayor a year ago last July asked for 400 additional officers. And now this week we're debating cutting 100. That's a net difference of 500. The St. Paul Police Department City Council initiated a staffing study which said they needed another 50 police officers. And on Wednesday, they're debating cutting 40. So this is a longer-term trend than just what we've seen since the pandemic. But the pandemic and the economy, of course, is a driving factor in a lot of this. A lot of people are suffering economically. And until we're out of this pandemic, we're going to see increases in crime.
For the folks who will say we need every bit as many quality officers, but also will say that the training needs to change, that new methods need to come up, and that could have an effect on what takes place with crime and the rate of crime, and hopefully acknowledging, obviously, what's going on with the criminal element itself, but also looking within the officers, within cities and counties, on the training they're getting and what can be better going forward. Are those points valid also?
100% valid. We need better training. We need a cultural shift toward more kindness. We need to make sure that we're using every less lethal option that's available on the market and that people are fully trained there. We need more mental health workers out with us to help deal with the mentally ill. We need addiction programs to help people overcome their addiction. And we need to reform the justice system so that people are coming out of the jail with more skills and tools than when they went in. And that's going to require some educational and vocational assistance. There's a wide variety and a broad spectrum of things that need to change. And for the most part, most of us in law enforcement support the goals of the Minneapolis City Council. We just think it's a big mistake to reduce the number of officers that are keeping their fingers in the dike, so to speak, while you're building that secondary safety net.
Let me ask you about what's going to be released here, we believe, at 3 o'clock. Goes back to a St. Paul police officer who shot and wounded a man armed with a knife following a domestic dispute Saturday night. Maybe discipline, while body camera footage of the encounter will be released. The officer, not yet identified, received written notice from Chief Axtell that he wished to meet with him Tuesday at noon. Union officials confirm, adding that they have not yet seen the footage. What are you hearing about this case, and what are you expecting to come out this afternoon?
Well, of course, it's all confidential. I can't say what I've heard, but we'll all know in the next hour everything that I know. And it would be inappropriate for me to jump in there before Chief Axtell announces, you know, the steps he's taking. I mean, it's a very fine police department. I worked there myself for 20 years, and they got some awesome officers there. But I know you called me because you wanted to talk about drones. Can we get that little plug-in for the drone?
Yeah. Let me just ask one more question about this, and then for sure I want to talk drones. Balance your line of confidentiality. Are you concerned about what you've seen so far in this case, though?
I haven't seen much. I just everything I know is secondhand hearsay from other people. So I myself have not seen any information. I heard the call on the air that night. I monitored the air traffic. I've talked to people that were in or around the scene, but I have not seen or heard anything direct. I'm sure we'll learn a ton more when we see the body camera video. All I'll say is this about body camera video. It's important to remember, and I know this from my own camera on a squad car, that the camera sometimes sees things after the fact that you didn't see at the time. And when you're living through that moment, it's quite often different than being able to go back and analyze a video after the fact. And there's tons of research on that officers' recollections of what they saw might be different than the camera. And that's exactly why the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension recommends that officers be interviewed before they see the body camera video to get their perspective without refreshing their recollection with the camera. I'm not sure that's the right policy, but that's what the professionals in the area believe.
So let's talk about a drone and the privacy and what could be about to happen in Ramsey County. Where is the balance of how effective they can be and also innocent individuals and the protection they deserve?
Well, the drone policy is governed by state statute. The Minnesota legislature has adopted very strict guidelines that took effect August 1st of this year. And all of us that might use a drone have to have a policy in place by February 15th. And our policy models the state statute. But just so you know, essentially, if you want to use a drone, you have to have a search warrant signed by a judge if you want to use it as a law enforcement agency. Now, private individuals can use them at will, but there's specific exemptions for the warrant, and that is if there's an emergency situation involving risk of death or great bodily harm, you don't need a warrant. If there's a terrorist attack, if you're searching for someone vulnerable, a lost person, if there's a major disaster taking place. But the primary use of drones in today's world is to find vulnerable people, autistic children that walk away, lost children, elderly with Alzheimer's. And so really what we're going to find and what departments have found, that's the primary use. On occasion, SWAT, our special weapons and tactic units, will need to use them to have surveillance on an area that we have a warrant, but in those cases, we're going to have warrants as well. But strict guidelines in the legislature regarding how they're used and the data. So Minnesota is probably the most restrictive state, in the country.
Sheriff, I appreciate the conversation. We'll reach out again.
Yeah, and if people want to comment, we'd love to have them go to our website or our Facebook page and have them leave a comment about drones, because the legislature requires us to do that, and we'd love to have them send us an email. And, Chad, thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
We'll do it again. Thanks, Bob.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.